FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Financial Survival Network is brought to you today by Orin Resources, a junior exploration company with the appetite of a major. It's hot on the trail of the next globally significant discovery, creating enormous potential upside for you, the shareholder. Orin is one of the most aggressive exploration companies pursuing high-grade, scalable gold and copper deposits and has a premier seven-project portfolio, including its two flagships, Committee Bay in the Arctic and Sombrero in Peru. Orin's unparalleled technical team and highly experienced management has a history of success in advancing and monetizing exploration assets. No wonder Orin's been called one of the best in the junior exploration sector. Orin trades on the TSX and the NYSE under AUG. To learn more, go to orinresources.com. That's AURYNResources.com.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's 3/27/19. March is almost over. Well, what has the market done? Not a heck of a lot. A little bit of volatility back and forth. Where it stops, nobody knows. But real estate, while certainly rates have had an effect, is still looking pretty good. And hey, as always, email us with any questions or comments and be a part of the show. The email address is kl@kerrylutz.com. So right now I've got Marco Santarelli with me, founder and president of Narada Real Estate. You find him at noradarealestate.com. Marco is investor, author, founder of Narada Real Estate Investments, and you've probably seen him all over the place. Firm offers turnkey investment property in growth markets nationwide. And Marco, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kerry. It's an honor to be on your show. I've been listening to you for years, and I'm glad to be here.
Hey, so looking at your background here, real estate, obviously, how did you wind up in real estate, Marco?
Interesting question. I actually bought my first rental property when I turned 18. Why 18? Because I could qualify for financing. Debt is a powerful thing, especially in an inflationary environment. And when you stop to understand that concept, you'll start to realize that you can create massive amounts of wealth by acquiring income-producing real estate. So knowing that at an early age, I just got involved when I was 18. And I just carried that forward over the years. I just, you know, continued to invest and buy properties in markets that made sense. And that's how it all began, Kerry. It was just, you know, that first property led to the second one, led to the third one.
Mm-hmm. So markets that make sense. How do you define a market that makes sense?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, a lot of people think that they have to listen to the so-called quote-unquote gurus and invest in their local market somewhere within a 1 or 2 hour driving radius of where they live. But that's actually flawed advice, because many of us, I'm not exactly sure if you're in New York, New Jersey, or where you live, Kerry, but I'm in Southern California here near the coast, and property values are very expensive. So not only are down payments going to be very high, but housing is inflated. It's very expensive. The numbers don't make sense in terms of cash flow. So when you're picking a market, you want to pick a market where, first of all, the numbers make sense in terms of generating positive cash flow. You're going to have an immediate rate of return. Number two, you don't want to be in an inflated or overpriced market, because that carries a lot of downside risk, and you don't want that downside risk as a real estate investor. Thirdly, you need to make sure that you have good rates of return. You can't do that in many of the coastal markets because rents are not high enough to compensate for the inflated price. So here's how I define very quickly, because we could literally do a whole episode or show on this topic. I look for markets where there are strong fundamentals. Very importantly, there is jobs and job growth. That's kind of the heart, if you will. Everything kind of spawns off of that. It's like dropping a pebble in a pond and you see the ripples come out from that. The jobs are one of the primary drivers within a market. And tied to that is positive net migration, because if you have people moving in and you have more demand then you have the supply for housing. Guess what? It elevates and sustains the prices, and it also maintains the rents that are required in that market. So the fundamentals and the economics of the market are important. But then, of course, you need to go beyond that. You need to look at the submarkets and the neighborhoods, and then you look at the property. So when you look at this holistically and everything makes sense economically, fundamentally, the supply and demand are not out of whack. There's inventory and you have the right team. Guess what? That's how you pick a great market. And I've made the mistake, as I know many investors do, many of our clients, they get mesmerized by a deal, quote unquote, that they get presented. It looks good in photos. It looks good on paper. Mm-hmm. But when they step back, if they step back and they look at the location, the neighborhood, the market, they might say, oh, geez, I'm in a war zone here in the middle of a dilapidated area in a bad market where people are moving away, not moving in. So
that's
the short answer.
Well, it sounds like you described Florida to a T, huh?
there are many markets like that.
Mm-hmm. So what's your favorite market at the present time?
Well, that's almost a trick question, and here's why. The answer, like an attorney would answer, is it depends. Whenever I get asked what's the best market, the top market, a favorite market, it really comes down to what is it that I'm looking for as a real estate investor, or maybe what is it Carrie is looking for as a real estate investor. Some investors are very focused and make a priority in terms of cash flow. They want to be in a market where they're going to get the optimum cap rate and cash on cash return. Other investors are more growth oriented, and that doesn't mean that they're speculating and swinging for the fences in markets that are purely appreciation based and they don't get positive cash flow or immediate rates of return. That to me is dangerous. That's what the speculators did back in 2004, 05, 06, prior to the Great Recession. And I know you remember this very well, Carrie.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, back then, there were a lot of people who were caught with their shorts down because they did not have positive cash flow. And then the market turned, credit dried up, property values dropped, and in many cases, those properties were worth less than the mortgage or the debt that was on that property. So it was a double whammy, a negative whammy. Well, that's not investing. That's called gambling. So for those clients that we work with, so those investors out there listening to this that want more appreciation potential, you know, emphasis on the word potential, we look at markets that have strong drivers but still provide cash flow. So I'm just going to give you some examples, and these are not recommendations. We're in 22 markets today, and here's what I would say if you were focused on cash flow. And so when you ask me what my favorite is, if my favorite for cash flow would be markets such as Memphis, Tennessee, Birmingham, Alabama, Huntsville, Alabama, Montgomery, Alabama, to some degree, Kansas, Oklahoma City in Oklahoma. Those are cash flow markets. They keep lockstep with inflation, but they're not super exciting. They're kind of boring markets. There's nothing sexy there. Mm-hmm. However, if you want more growth potential, some of the markets that we recommend to our clients would be Jacksonville, Florida, Tampa, mm-hmm. Florida, Houston, Texas, to a growing degree, Indianapolis. Kansas City was in that category. It's still there. Kansas City, Missouri, but we're starting to see inventory dry up and that growth curve start to top off. But those are examples of markets with greater growth potential.
Mm-hmm. I see. So when we look at inventory, right? Inventory, big issue now, isn't it? Is it hard to find these properties?
Well, because of the teams that we have, the boots on the ground and the relationships that we've built over the last 15 years, we get a lot of inventory. We probably have anywhere from 100 to 200 properties at any given time. But having said that, even though that sounds like a lot, inventory is a problem nationwide because we have a lot of demand and it's growing for housing, both rentals and purchase. We're not producing enough in terms of housing units per year to keep up with that demand. In fact, we have about 250,000 housing units per year as a deficit. And this is actually one of the issues that we're going to be talking about next week. My group and I up on Capitol Hill, we're actually going to be in Washington, D.C., on Capitol Hill talking to committees and HUD about the importance of real estate investors and what we provide to the economy and the market, and the fact that we are the largest segment of the investment space. They think it's Wall Street, but Wall Street owns only a single digit worth of an investment inventory, meaning rental inventory in this country. And so there's all kinds of problems. We have this problem with a lack of supply to keep pace, not just to meet, but to keep pace with the growing demand each and every year. I was just talking to a demographer a couple of months ago who's studying the housing market and housing demand in the United States. And he's not just bullish. He's extremely bullish for at least the next decade and beyond in terms of housing demand and the opportunities out there for those who are looking to either acquire real estate or invest in real estate. So, you know, when you talk about supply and inventory, it's up there, but it's challenging to come across it and compile it or find it. And this is why having the right team and the right strategy is so important today.
So what about interest rates? They were headed up for a while, you know, over 5%. Now they've started heading back down. What is your take on where they're headed and how important is it?
Well, if I had a crystal ball, I'd be a billionaire. But I don't have that magic crystal ball. But here's what I can comment on. It would be almost suicidal for interest rates to continue going up because, as you know, Kerry, the housing market and all the industries wrapped around it like an onion make up a very significant portion of the GDP of this country. Sure. It's a major economic component and a driver of the United States. So if we cripple that sector, it's going to cause a lot of problems and ripple problems. And it could, quite frankly, lead to it could be the catalyst or the trigger that leads to the next recession, which I think we might be overdue for. Markets always need to take a breather and sometimes actually have to have a correction. Mm-hmm. I strongly believe that's coming up very, very soon. But to answer your question, and by the way, I was just with Peter Schiff last week, you know, having dinner with him, and we were talking about stuff like this. And, you know, he's negative about everything. I mean, he's just, you know, the world is crashing and it's all around us and, you know, the apocalypse is coming. I mean, that's kind of Peter Schiff, right?
Sure.
But the thing is if we raise rates too much, too fast, it's going to stall the housing market. It's going to cripple people's ability to be able to get into housing and expand the housing market and keep up with the demand for housing and provide more affordable housing. So in a true free market, those interest rates would be higher, much higher than what we have today. But we don't live in a true free market. As you know, interest rates are manipulated or controlled to a large degree. And what we see as conventional financing out there is really a government subsidized interest rate. I mean, it's great if you're looking to stock up on this good quality debt to acquire real estate, but it's not a true free market rate. So the reality is that we have these rates. They're still historically low. It's great if you're a real estate investor. You should stock up on it and as much as you can. And inflation is going to help eat away that debt because we do live in an inflationary environment. But I just don't see interest rates going up a lot anytime soon. They talk about it. It makes a great soundbite on the mainstream media. But the reality is that you can't keep raising rates without affecting the economy of the United States in a significant way.
Yeah, very true. But, you know, on the one hand, yeah, we like rates to be low and such, but the rates have been artificially low for so long that we could really be hurting the economy more than we're helping it with low rates, right?
That's exactly true. And the way we're hurting ourselves is what we're essentially doing is we're creating a bubble. You know, we just seem to be a country that perpetuates one bubble after another after another. And so, yes, by having artificially low interest rates, what we're doing is we're just either slowly or quickly, we're inflating yet another potential real estate bubble. And I don't see that in middle America, like the flyover states and parts of the Southeast. I just don't see that happening. But I am seeing that in the coastal markets where property values are very expensive. I mean, San Francisco is kind of the poster child for this. You know, to buy a small condo that's over $1 million is crazy. But, you know, those are the markets that are going to probably see the biggest corrections and probably sooner than others. The one thing that is helping to sustain these high and crazy prices in a lot of these inflated markets is the fact that, A, you have strong demand for housing, fueled by, in many cases, people who make, you know, very good incomes, like in the tech space. And two, constraints on land. There's limited supply of buildable land in many of these markets, especially near the water, like San Francisco. So you can't really expand outward. You don't have that land supply to keep building cheap housing. So you basically end up stacking people on top of each other by building higher density apartments and condos and whatever else it may be, just because you don't have the supply of land. So when you have supply constraints, it's the whole supply and demand equation. You know, you push prices up and it keeps it there.
Yeah. Yeah. So prices can either go up because of excess demand or short supply. And I guess in these coastal regions, you've got a combination of the two. A lot of it's due to land use restrictions, which sound good in principle, but again, you wind up with prices going up and really becoming unaffordable to Joe Sixpack or even Joe Lexus, as I would call him. Neither of them can afford to live in these places. New York metropolitan area, same deal. There's not much new building going on. It's not like Florida where there's always building, or Texas where you've got most of the states empty and they can just keep expanding. So yeah, until they have floating condos, I guess demand, supply in these coastal regions, not going to happen. So in any event, hey, it's been interesting talking with you about the dynamics here. People want to find out more about you, Marco. Where do they go?
Probably the best place to go, Kerry, is my other website, which, of course, the two sites we have link with each other. But the website is Passive Real Estate Investing, because it really says everything that we do. PassiveRealEstateInvesting.com. There's a ton of free information on there, contact information, and it links to our core website at Norada Real Estate anyway.
All right. Very cool. Well, we appreciate you coming on, Marco. Any questions for Marco, myself, real estate issues, email us, kl@kerrylutz.com. And if you're listening on a podcast channel or on YouTube, which both of them happen quite often, please subscribe, like, and share us. Whatever button says subscribe, just keep clicking it until it says yes. It really helps us a lot when you do that. Helps me, helps get the word out, helps get the message out on other things you can do to increase or maintain your wealth in what is a very volatile and uncertain economic climate. Marco, appreciate you coming on, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Kerry. Appreciate it.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.